Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Campus police at UC Berkeley have cleared out Occupy Cal. Campers didn't opt to fight it and reportedly packed up and left in the wee hours. But last night, Junior Alex Kravitz said the Occupy movement is not going away.
It'll spring up at another location. The police are clumsy. They have all their riot gear and such. They can't move as quickly as we can.
UC President Mark Udoff released a statement yesterday writing he's proud of students speaking out and urged them to join together in common cause to, quote, convince the state's political leadership that higher education represents an enlightened investment. California State University trustees approved a 9% tuition hike yesterday. The board voted to raise tuition by about $500 next fall, bringing the annual cost of an undergraduate degree just shy of $6,000, not including campus-specific fees that average about $1,000. The vote did not go over well with protesters. Police clashed with some people inside the building. Four students were arrested. Trustees who voted for the hike blamed state lawmakers for cutting Cal State funding by $650 million in recent years. But for trustee Henry Mendoza, that was a reason to vote no.
We keep all pointing toward the legislators, and I think that's properly so. We're being underfunded, and we make it easy for them every single time by raising the tuition, and then, you know, we make the decision for them. They don't have to think about us.
Student protests on Cal State's 23 campuses are scheduled throughout the week. Thousands of faculty members are striking today, converging on Cal State Dominguez Hills near Long Beach and Cal State East Bay near Oakland. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tentakulis has the story.
All is quiet in the center of campus at Cal State East Bay, but take a walk to the outskirts of campus, and it's going to be a different story.
It'll be a tough day to try to get to campus.
That's because faculty members like philosophy professor Jennifer Egan have canceled their classes to join other CSU professors, librarians, and counselors in a massive protest. Busloads of faculty members from across Northern California are converging on this campus. In Southern California, they're deployed to Cal State Dominguez Hills. At issue is a salary increase for faculty members. Chancellor Charles Reed is withholding pay raises that were negotiated 3 years ago. The raises, which would total about $20 million in the first year, stalled when the state cut education funding. But Egan says that hasn't stopped Reed from paying his executives top dollar.
So we're really upset about the misspending of the money that's there. Yes, there's a financial crisis, but that doesn't explain why faculty salaries in particular are flat and that student fees are going up, but they're not seeing anything in return for it.
Two independent fact-finding panels recommended a 1% pay increase for faculty, but Chancellor Reed rejected those findings, saying there isn't enough money to meet faculty demands. The CSU lost $650 million in state budget cuts this year. Despite the strike, Cal State East Bay spokeswoman Monica Beeler says her campus will be open.
We don't have any official information from faculty, so we know that many may cancel classes, but the university, as I said, is open, and classes are going to be available for those who want to come and get the education that we provide to them.
CSU officials say faculty members will be docked a day's pay if they don't show up, but many students say they're not coming to class. Frank Quintero says he supports his professors.
Faculty working conditions are student learning conditions. Whatever affects faculty directly affects the students, and the other way around.
This is the first ever statewide CSU faculty strike. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
The unrest over budget cuts looks set to get a lot worse, given the financial forecast just out from the state legislature's independent number crunchers. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers tells us the picture's ugly enough to trigger automatic spending cuts in 6 weeks' time.
To understand what happens next in California's never-ending state budget saga, go back to what happened in June. That's when legislative Democrats and Governor Jerry Brown resolved their budget fight by adding $4 billion to this year's estimated tax revenues. No projection had been that optimistic, which is why, on June 27th, Brown said the following.
In case we're over-optimistic, we have severe trigger cuts that will be triggered and go into effect.
That now looks like it will happen based on the new state economic report from Mac Taylor, the legislature's independent analyst.
Certainly the $4 billion was something that even the legislature and the governor knew was risky.
Taylor and his team believe the budget will miss its revenue estimate by $3.7 billion. And if the governor's finance team comes up with a similar estimate next month, about $2 billion in automatic budget cuts will begin kicking in on January 1st. The list of automatic cuts is full of hard hits. $100 million each in new cuts to the UC and CSU systems. The same for developmental services and in-home support care. There would also be cuts to Medi-Cal, juvenile justice, and child care. And the trigger would be pulled on about $1.4 billion in cuts to K-12 schools and community colleges.
Most school districts in the state will have to do more cutting in order to accommodate these triggers if they get pulled.
Kevin Gordon is an education lobbyist and says the automatic trigger cut amounts to about $190 per student on top of years' worth of reductions. The budget says districts can shorten the school year to absorb the automatic cuts, but that, says Gordon, would require renegotiated labor contracts. Not easy to do with the school year now well underway.
And if you have a contract that's in force already, the notion of getting your friends in the labor unions to voluntarily reopen the negotiations so that we can talk about where we're going to cut you.
The fears are even greater among the poor and disabled. One advocate for those who receive in-home support care says clients now receive, on average, about 86 hours of assisted home care a month. The automatic budget trigger would eliminate about a quarter of that care. Some education and social services supporters say the gloomy fiscal forecast reinforces the need for new state tax revenues. And several Democratic legislators said Wednesday the automatic trigger cuts need a second look before going into effect. But a do-over is not an option Governor Brown is currently considering, says his budget spokesman, H.D. Palmer.
The legislature has already pre-approved these reductions, and it is our anticipation that if they have to go into effect, they will go into effect starting on January the 1st.
And the automatic cuts may only be the beginning. Under the new revenue estimate, the state's total budget gap for the year will stand at almost $13 billion. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Thursday, November 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.